I'm so glad to have you here, coming in out of the rain is good. It's good to have rain, and it's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning.
Well, welcome. I hope you all enjoyed the pancake breakfast if you were there. The troop loves to do this. It's an opportunity for us to maybe give back a little bit to the church that has been our sponsor for, most of you know, 50 years. And boy, do we appreciate that. Doug Gipp is listed as the executive for West Valley Presbyterian Church on our roster for our registration. And we have the charter, which says that West Valley Presbyterian Church is the official sponsor for Troop 407. We will have that proudly displayed in McCaddy Hall. Pastor Kim, thank you very much. I'd also like to introduce Dave Brogard, who is the charter organizational rep. He's a member of the congregation and is the he is the go-between between the church and the troop. And if you really liked the breakfast this morning, you can thank our chaplain's aide in the troop. He did all the planning of it. This is Trevor Aquino. And I see in the back, Anna, if you're quick, you can come forward and be introduced too. The church also sponsors and charters a Cub Scout pack, and Anna Wold is the Cub Master, and they were there to greet you this morning and were participating in today, which is, by the way, Scout Sunday. So thank you all again. We really appreciate the support we get from the church, and we hope we can give back just a little bit to all of you folks.
Thank you.
We're delighted to have you, and I hope we have you for many, many more years. And please welcome our Boy Scouts as they usher and greet this morning. Be sure that they feel welcomed here. All right. Thank you so much for that. And let's begin our worship with the call to worship as it appears on your screen. Let us give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love. His mercy is everlasting, and His faithfulness endures to all generations.
Come, let us worship the Lord, and sing to Him with the last songs of joy. He has made a way in the desert, and His grace sustains us.
Amen.
Hear God's words to us. Give praise to the Lord. Proclaim His name. Make known among the nations what He has done. You, Lord, are forgiving and good, abounding in love to all who call you. And because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. And let us continue to worship.
So at this time, we're going to commission our team who's going to Mexico. So if all of you could stand up and come on up front, we're going to involve you, the congregation, in commissioning this time. We actually have 37 people who are going to Mexico. Not all of them could be here this morning, but we got a good clump of folks, don't you think? And we are so excited. Every year we do this, we go to a special needs school and orphanage. It's on the Baja Peninsula, about an hour south of Ensenada. An hour and a half or something? This always seems so much longer. And we share with them in our VBS about Jesus. They already know about Jesus because it's a Christian school, but it actually started from a pig farm and it was built up on faith. And so this is an exciting opportunity. I remember the first year we did this, I was scraping to find people to go, and now we've got all this excitement. I'm so thrilled. And Peggy Albert, where are you, Peggy? Yes, she's our new chair of our mission, so she's going to be asking our team some questions. And Nathan, as president of admin, is also going to be asking you some questions. So do we have a microphone, and are we ready to go?
I think so.
Okay.
You are the team God chose to serve at Rancho Santa Marta this year, 2015. Do you accept your assignment as a commission from God to go and act on His behalf?
Yes.
And do you accept the responsibility of representing this congregation in doing the work of the Lord, at Rancho Santa Marta.
Congregation.
Okay, back. Do you commit yourself to serving faithfully on this trip in ways that bring glory, honor and glory to God? Will you serve with energy, intelligence, imagination and love, treasuring your experiences as opportunities to learn and to grow?
It is written, "How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings." Do you recognize God's commission on the lives of these participants? And will you continue your investment and interest in our ongoing work there, endeavoring to support it and to support these team members now, during, and after this week of service?
Baskets will be coming around in a few moments, thank you to the Boy Scouts, with the names of each participant who is going to Rancho Santa Marta. Take one name out of the basket and pray for that person for the week they are serving in Mexico, February 14th to 22nd. Pray for strength, peace, patience, and kindness. Above all, pray that God will use that person to show God's love. Please join me in the unison prayer of dedication as together we send this team forth in Jesus' name. Guiding and loving God, empower these people to be your hands and feet. Help them to glorify you by serving others. Send them into the world to feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, and warm those who are cold. By their actions and words, make them witnesses of your great love and your passion for rescuing your people. Protect them, teach them, and support them as they take this next step in their journey to become the people you want them to be. Fill them with the Holy Spirit and enable them to do their task faithfully and joyfully. Bring them safely home and then let their experience further enrich us, so that we too will glorify you by serving our community in the love of Christ. Amen.
Go in Jesus' name and do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God. Thank you so much for serving on this team. Let's give them a big hand. Support them with our prayers. Thank you all. The baskets are coming around now with the names of the Rancho Santa Marta team on them. If you're part of the team, you don't need to take a name. Just take one if you're not going. We want to all be involved in this process. And at this time, I'm going to take your prayer requests this morning. We've been doing this for the past few Sundays. Seems to work well. I think we're going to do it every Sunday except on Communion Sundays when we're a bit stretched for time. We want to pray for Sarah Steerwald. She's coming back from Westminster Woods with a couple of our kids. She was up there for a retreat. She did some speaking for Safe Travels back here. Want to pray for Joanne Rank, who's in San Tomas convalescent. She had an issue with bleeding after the surgery. So she's there if you'd like to send her a card. I know she'd appreciate that. And we want to give thanks with Maggie Day for a new grandson, 10-plus pounds. So we're so glad for that. Any other requests or praises that we can lift up in prayer this morning? Yes, Peggy.
I'd like, first of all, to pray for Dad and his continued comfort as he faces the issues he's facing, and also praise for the congregation, for those who come forward and offered help to me and for those who visited Dad.
Ah, wonderful. So Peggy wants prayers for her dad, Jim Stamper, and also praise for the congregation, for their support of you as you're caring for him and for their visits and their care. So thank you for that. What else can we include in prayer this morning? I am so sorry. We need to add that it's Bill's grandchild, too, not just Maggie's. So I should have known. And it's Luke, Luke Isaiah. That's amazing. That's an amazing name. All right. Good. Thank you. What else? What other prayers? Yes, Cynthia. So Michael Moen has blood clots in his lungs. Wow. Okay. What else? What else is going on? Yes, Bill.
My brother Steve, who had his surgery last week and is recuperating at home, but he needs prayers for continued healing and recovery from that.
So brother Steve had surgery and last week, right? And needs continued prayers for recovery and recuperation. Yes. Cynthia, storm damage. I want to pray for safety and repair, right, on that. Okay. Yes.
I'm inviting my son and his girlfriend for Valentine's dinner. Prayer that it's a healing time for the family to be together.
Ah, okay. So Sandy's inviting her son and girlfriend for a Valentine's Day dinner and wants that to be a healing time for the family. Yes. Yes, Carol McCune had his 95th birthday, and we're excited about that. Thank you to all of you who came with me to sing hymns. And who is it over here? Oh, Adam. What prayer for you? Okay. Oh, okay. Adam would like prayer for his mother. So we will pray for that. We'll pray for your mom, Adam. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that with us. Good. Yes. Todd says, praise for rain. Yes. May have made us wet, but we need it so badly. All righty. Yes, Mac.
Give my homeless friend in Sacramento that she will be called into a program that will help her.
So this is Amber. Who is homeless in Sacramento. We want to pray for her. Mac's been working with her quite a bit. All right. Good. I'm glad I looked back. Yes, Debbie? So prayers for those who've lost jobs that God would encourage and help them. All right, let's pray. Lord God, we're grateful that we can gather today on this rainy day, these showers of blessings. We're grateful. We thank you for who you are, that you're a God of compassion, justice, and mercy. And that in your great love, you loved us enough to die for us and to pay the price so that we can come to you now in prayer, so that that gulf that's between us and you because of our fallenness and our sin has been bridged through Jesus Christ. And we're so glad we can easily approach your throne of grace, and not timidly, but boldly. And we can simply say, Lord, we need you. We need you in so many ways. I pray, Lord, that you'd come by the power of your Spirit and renew our faith today, renew our enthusiasm for who you are, renew our sense of mission and purpose, renew our desire to share your good news with others. And today, Lord, your people are gathered in this place with requests and praises, and we ask, Lord, that you be with Sarah as she drives back from Westminster Wood today, that you'd keep her safe with the two boys that are with her, and thank you so much for her willingness to serve in this way. We lift up Joanne Rank, who's in Santa Moss Convalescence. We pray that her recovery would be speedy and quick, and that you'd assure her of your love right now. We pray for, we give thanks for Maggie and Bill's grandson, Luke Isaiah, and we're so grateful that it's a healthy boy, and just pray for Adam and Anna as they take on the wonderful privilege of parenthood, and may that just be such a joy for them, and be with Maggie and Bill as they go out there on Thursday to visit. And pray for Peggy's dad, and just ask for continued blessing on Jim as he grows older and it's harder and harder to understand what is going on. We thank you for this congregation and how they've come forward and helped Peggy, and for their support. And so important to be a part of the people of God. So important to know you through your people, O Lord. We pray with Cynthia for Michael Moen, who has blood clots in his lungs, and we ask for healing for him and peace and understanding. Lord, I pray as Cynthia stands by, she'd know the words to say, but more importantly, may she be your presence, bring your presence and your peace into that situation just by being there. Lord, with Bill Johns, we pray for his brother Steve. He had surgery last week, and he's recuperating, and he needs the jump start of your Holy Spirit to get that recovery going quickly. So I just pray for that. I pray you'd be with him today in a special way and with his wife, his family. I pray that you would assure him of your presence and of your work in his life. We pray with Cynthia Blank for storm damage. All those who are experiencing storm damage, Lord, we ask for your comfort for them and that they would be able to recover soon. And pray with Sandy for the Valentine's Day dinner that she's going to have with her son and his girlfriend, that this would be a healing time for their family. Lord, bring your presence, your love, and understanding into that situation as that happens, and help love and forgiveness to flow. Lord, we all love Carol McCune. What a wonderful person he is, and it was great to celebrate his 95th birthday this past week with him. And thank you for Milt and his friendship with Carol. Just help him to know how much we care about him and love him. And Lord, with Adam, we pray for his mom. We pray that your presence would be with her. We pray that she would know you as Lord and that she would rest secure in your presence for her. And Lord, with Todd, again, we praise you for the rain. And we thank you that it reminds us how your blessings come. We don't always know when they will come, but they come. And you are faithful to bring them to us. We again lift up Amber in prayer to you, who's homeless in Sacramento. Mac's been working so hard to help her, and I just pray that you would help her life to settle down and that she would be able to find the help she needs. And with Debbie, we pray for all those who have lost jobs, that you would bring them security and opportunity and that they would trust you as they look and as they endeavor to find the call on their lives, the vocation that you've called them to. So, Lord, we thank you that you have heard our prayers. We have lifted them up to you in faith. We believe, Lord, that you hear us even before we speak, that you know the exact thoughts that come into our mind, that you know us so well. So, Lord, we trust you. We know that you care about us. And may we lift all our anxieties to you now, those spoken today and those unspoken, that we would be able to have that peace that passes understanding and to know that no matter what our eyes see, you are working out a plan and that we can be confident that one day, Lord, there's not going to be any crying or sorrow or tears anymore because the former things, the former difficulties will have passed away and every knee shall bow and tongue confess that you are Lord. So trusting you and with an eye toward victory in your name, we pray the prayer that you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever.
Amen.
King Hezekiah's son, Manasseh, was only 12 years old when he became king. He was very different from his father, doing all sorts of evil things. He led the people to worship false gods. Things got so bad that God brought the Assyrian army against Manasseh. They put a hook in his nose and led him away to the city of Babylon as a prisoner. In his suffering, Manasseh humbled himself and prayed to God. God allowed Manasseh to be set free and return home. For a few years, things began to improve, and the Israelites began to follow God again. They even discovered the book containing all of the laws of Moses, which had been lost for many years. The people learned once again what it was like to live in God's ways. But soon things got much, much worse. The kings who ruled over Judah once again led the people away from God. Then one day, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, attacked the Israelites, nearly destroying the temple Solomon had built. He captured almost all of the Israelites, including the best warriors, workers, and artists, and sent them to Babylon. Only a few of the poorest Israelites were allowed to stay to take care of the fields. God sent two prophets, Jeremiah, to those left in Jerusalem, and Ezekiel to those living in Babylon. Unfortunately, the news was bad. Because they had done so much evil, God allowed the city of Jerusalem, their home, to be almost completely destroyed and the rest of the Israelites sent to Babylon. But the prophet Ezekiel told the Israelites living in Babylon that God would not forget about them, that God would one day rescue and restore them. God even gave Ezekiel a vision that he was standing in a valley full of bones. There was a rattling sound, and the bones began to come together, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and they came to life. God told Ezekiel the meaning of the vision. These bones are the whole house of Israel. I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you will know that I am God.
We're going to read the scripture in a minute through a video presentation, but I want to start speaking. After the video presentation, we're going to sing a song about dry bones that you may have heard at some point, and then I'll continue to speak, all right? I want to know how many of you watched the Super Bowl last weekend. Oh, many of you did. I don't always watch a Super Bowl. I sometimes do when I feel like it. Sometimes, you know, if it's a blowout, I kind of get bored with it. And we didn't have a Super Bowl party or anything. We didn't get together with anybody. We just were hanging out at home because Sunday afternoons is Tim and my and Jonathan's time to kind of crash and relax. But then we turned it on. I got the last half of it, and that was the only half that I needed to see. It was an amazing game. Everyone knew it was coming, right? Second and one on the one-yard line. Marshawn Lynch of the Seahawks was waiting in the backfield, poised to do what he was put on this earth to do, which was to get a touchdown, this touchdown. It was over. People already knew the outcome. The Seahawks were going to win. All was lost for the Patriots. It was over. And then something unexpected happened, right? The play came in. Russell Wilson attempted a doomed pass that Malcolm Butler intercepted, and it was Seattle that punched and cursed their way off the field, right? The Patriots were the victors. The least favored team were the champs. Totally unexpected. Totally unexpected. Not what you would think was even possible. Neil Payne of the Harvard Sports Analysis Collective laid out the facts and said simply this: we thought it was over, we thought we knew the ending, but we didn't. And so, of course, depending on what team you were going for, it was either good or bad news, but for everyone, it came out of nowhere, and then the web erupted with all kinds of reactions and commentaries on the game. Imagine Ezekiel. Here's the link. The prophet to the Jewish people who are now exiles in Babylon. Imagine Ezekiel being swept up in the spirit and being transported to a valley of dry bones. And please get this. This is not just a few little chicken bones, all right, over in a corner somewhere. Scripture says that there are mountains of human bones in that valley, skulls and femurs, hip bones, pelvic bones, ribs, and spinal columns strewn about down there, bleached and dried out in the hot Mediterranean sun, a motionless graveyard of the remnants of something that used to be and is no more. These bones actually were a metaphor for the nation of Israel. What had happened prior to this vision is that not only have the Jews been taken captive, as you saw in Babylon, but Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, has now come and destroyed Jerusalem. Jerusalem and the temple were the hub of Israel's identity, the place where the exiles hoped that they could return someday and be a nation there. But with the destruction of Jerusalem, the Jewish people fell into despair. We will never be a nation. We'll never be able to go back home. We don't have a home to go back to. Their land is ravaged, their temples destroyed, and their families are scattered. They're in a strange land. They regarded this political and military defeat as an irrevocable historical judgment. Marduk, the god of the Babylonians, had prevailed as far as some of them were concerned. Some of them thought Yahweh was impotent. Some of them felt their faith had proved inadequate and the covenant promises had proved insufficient. Ever feel that way, sort of in the pit of despair, feeling like God's promises are for everybody else but not for you? Ever feel like you've messed up so badly that blessings cannot come your way anymore? That's how the captive Israelites felt during the time of Ezekiel. They were like a field of bones, dry, dusty, sun-bleached, and dead, without breath, without help, without hope. Some of the Psalms of Lament, if you go to the book of Psalms, you can read just the utter despair that comes out through those words. It was over. No longer could they hope of being a nation chosen by the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They were at a dead end. And God asks Ezekiel a question. He asks him this, "Son of man, can these dry, very dry bones, can they live again? Can the nation of Israel still be a nation, still be my people, still conquer and be victorious, even after all of this destruction and despair?" I know what I would say. I'd say, "No way, it's over. We're doomed. Dry bones, very dry bones, bleached by the Mediterranean sun, do not live again." This is where I sit down for a moment. I want you to watch this reading of the scripture on the screen and note Ezekiel's response when God asks him, "Can these bones live?"